That was a very appropriate song, ladies and Nathaniel, for the message tonight. Let me say, it's a joy to be at Calvary. And I wish all of our family was here tonight. Let me go ahead and explain that, all right? Well, let me ask, how many of you do not know who I am? I know most of you do, all right? But how many of you do not know who I am? Because I know there's lots of new folks at Calvary. Okay, all right, that kind of gives me a feel then for how much I need to cover and what I need to cover, all right? But it is a joy to be here. Now, my wife, Amy, and we have five children. Amy is sick tonight, and a couple of the kids are staying with my mom. My mom's Renee, and many of you know Renee, but she's been here for several years. I grew up here, and I asked you to pray for Amy, my wife. We've been visiting family a lot since we've been here and just trying to catch up with family. And we found out Tuesday that my grandmother had COVID. So she's been in hospital, and she's doing much better now and probably get discharged tomorrow. But she did head to COVID. Found out last night that my dad has tested positive as well. And we've spent a lot of time with them. And now Amy has a high fever. So we're concerned that maybe she has COVID. And just pray she does not, and pray the rest of us don't have it either, okay? And we really appreciate that. Appreciate your prayers. But I tell you, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Joshua 4. I'm going to kind of mix testimony together with the message, all right? So I'll go ahead and have you turn there. And then I'll mention some things while you're turning. And I may go ahead and just give you some update on current things, and then we'll look back over the past few years and different things that have gone on that God has just worked in incredible ways. I know many of you keep up with us on Facebook and read our prayer letters, and I tell you, that means a lot. It means a lot when you take the time to just let us know you're praying, or you write to us, you know, email or whatever. To know that you're here, if you take the time to, you know, even if it's just a message or something, you take the time to let us know that you're thinking of us. That lets us know that you do think about us and that you're praying for us. You're not just, you know, putting in your faith promise and well, God bless the missionaries. No, you're thinking of the Smiths. And that means a lot. It really does. Obviously, it takes money and you know, to money and missions are wedded together, as they say, but it takes prayer more than anything. And our ministry is a testament of that. And we're going to talk about that some tonight, how God has worked. Just in the past 3 or 4 weeks, we left New Zealand the 15th of November and came up here. We had come out of a very busy time in our ministry. We had our annual men's meeting, and we had nearly 80 men that come together out of about 6 or 7 independent Baptist churches. We've been doing this now for 6 years. Pastor Borhill preached that for us last year. Of course, he did a live stream. Couldn't get him in the country because of all the COVID restrictions. But that meeting has just continued to grow and blossom. The only meeting we have like that in the country, just for men of like faith. And so it's become a real staple, if you will, among the churches in our fellowship. And so that's a real blessing to be able to come together like that. And Amy does pretty much all the cooking and the preparation for that. She has some ladies that help her, of course, but she organizes all that and plays a big part in that. And so it was a very busy time, but God has just used that. And I'll give you an example from this past men's meeting. One of my men, he's one of my deacons, he came to me after the Saturday, last meeting there, we were kind of cleaning up, and he said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." So, you know, we got off to the side, and he said, "You know, there's some things that I haven't been totally upfront with you about." And so he began to tell me some things, and we had talked before, but he had not told me the whole story, basically. And I've been preaching in our church. Our theme this year is being courageous. And I've been preaching through Joshua as one of the books that we've been doing. And so, of course, going through Joshua, I preached on Achan. And he told me, "Pastor, I feel like I'm the Achan. It's been me. And I just haven't been willing to admit it. I haven't owned up to it." And so he began telling me some things and asking forgiveness and such. And just wanting to get things right, wanting to get some help and for his home and different things. And then he goes, and "Pastor, this is what thrilled me." He said, "God wants me to preach." He's called to preach. And, you know, here he is. And he said, "I know that I've got to get these things right. I got to get my home in order because God wants me to preach." And here he said, I feel like this men's meeting that we've just had, it was all for me. He said, God was speaking to me in every message, every sermon. God was just working on my heart. And here God's calling to preach. And, you know, I'm thrilled. We have another man in our church who preaches and I believe, you know, he's called to preach as well. So, you know, God is at work. And we're excited to see what God's doing in Whangarei. And the pastor tried it. Whangarei, I've heard all kinds of things. One person I know called it John Wayne, you know. Whangarei. All right, now, if you read it, in fact, if you read on our prayer card, all right, I've got some of these. Now, the picture's old, okay, but it's all the same people, okay? We're just all a little bit older. But I put some of these back at the information desk, so if you want to get one, again, if you don't know who we are, that'll give you a name and a face and where we are, okay? So you can pick those up. But, you know, God is at work in Whangarei. We broke our attendance record this year. When we went to the church 8 years ago, they were right around 20 folks. They've been without a pastor for about a year and a half. We had 66, our anniversary service this year. We've seen two or three folks saved this year. Amy was able to lead a young teenage girl to the Lord here about a month ago. Amy FaceTimed with her just a few nights ago, and she's still fired up and ready to get baptized when we get back. Still in, you know, coming to church even though we're not there. So, you know, God is at work. God's brought us family this year, another individual, and praying for his partner to get saved. But he's already doing everything he can, being involved in the church. So, you know, God is at work, and we're just excited to see what he's doing. Amen. And I appreciate your prayers because that's what God's using. Now, yes, it takes funds to do it, but it also takes prayer. And I know that God works through prayer. Amen. If you're in Joshua 4, let's look at verse 1. This is a familiar story in the Word of God. And I'm just going to read about the first six verses to start with. All right? It says, it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. Ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? I want to talk about three things tonight. First one we're going to look at is stones. Stones. The second one is steps. Steps. And then last of all, we'll look at signs. Stones, steps, and signs. You know, this passage, I've taken this passage literally. And some of you maybe know where I'm going with this if you keep up with us quite a bit. But I think it's important for the next generation to know what God's done in our life. That's right. If we're going to pass on our heritage, it can't just be we hope they catch it. We have to teach it to them. That's right. We need to demonstrate it to them. We need to put up reminders of what God has done. And why did God command the children of Israel to do this? Because he knows they're human. And we're all in the same boat. We forget, don't we? And whether it's something, a physical monument, whether it's something you write down in the back of your Bible, whether it's a prayer journal, you need to keep a list and keep a physical reminder of some sort of what God is doing in your life. And be able to show that to the next generation. We have a command there in 2 Timothy 2 that Paul, he told Timothy to pass on the things that have been given to him, that others may be able to teach, they may be able to teach others also. And I'm paraphrasing a verse, but there's three or four generations mentioned right there in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. We're to pass on the faith. And one way of doing that is to set up these reminders, these stones. Tonight, I want to ask you that question. What mean ye by these stones? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our message, all right? Lord, I thank you again for this evening. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. And, Lord, it is a privilege and an honor to preach, Lord, behind this pulpit. Lord, to be here where you saved me, Lord, where it all started. And, Lord, where you called me. And, Lord, to come back and, Lord, to testify of what you have done. Lord, it is nothing I have done. There is no good thing in me. But, Lord, it is all, Lord, of you and for you. And, Lord, that is exactly what we ask for tonight. Lord, that, Lord, from as the song said just a while ago, from this point on, from today, Lord, we cannot go back. We can't rewind. But, Lord, from this point on, we would give it all to you and live our lives for you. Lord, may this time we have as we look at the Word of God, may it honor you. And, Lord, may it inspire others. Lord, may it challenge others to change things in their lives. We pray that the Holy Spirit would have liberty and that you would do your work. Lord, do what only you can do. We'll give you the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, these stones in Joshua 4, what were they there for? You know, we want to have a godly legacy. And you know, I think about people in history. There's people that are famous. I could name a few names. Abraham Lincoln, you know, probably our most famous president. And then I think about people that are infamous. John Wilkes Booth. I mean, right there. Yeah, the one of the most famous presidents and also one of the most infamous people of our U.S. history. You know, I think about missionaries. I think about statesmen. I think about people in the Bible. I think about, you know, that there's lots of chapters given over to David. And I know pastors preach on the life of David, and you can look at the life of David, you know, and God doesn't hide any blemishes, does he? You know, I think about Joseph. He wasn't a perfect man, but God doesn't show us any of the blemishes in Joseph's life. I think about individuals, though, that there's not a lot said in the Bible. What about Enoch? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And that's about all that's really said about Enoch. What about Jabez there in 1 Chronicles? There's very few verses mentioned about Jabez, and yet he's the prayer that Jabez offered has inspired probably thousands, maybe millions of Christians to seek God and to pray and ask God for more. And, you know, we don't know much about him, but the Holy Spirit chose to stop the roster, so to speak, of the children of Israel and to highlight Jabez, just a few verses. You flip the coin, and I think about the negative aspect. I think about some individuals that the Apostle Paul wrote about. There, he wrote to Timothy about Alexander the coppersmith, had resisted the gospel. How would you like to be remembered for all eternity in the Word of God that you were the individual who resisted the Apostle Paul's preaching? Wow. What about Demas? You know, he started out good, but then he fell off eventually, having loved this present world. And that's how the Holy Spirit remembers him. And there's all kind of individuals like that. You look at the Apostle Paul, his closing of his letters and his epistles. He would mention all kinds of individuals in the churches, and a lot of them, most of them, we don't know who they are, but the Holy Spirit does. And he thought it was important to remember them and what they did. And maybe they just gave a little, maybe they offered, you know, opened their home or whatever. But they have a legacy for all eternity in the Word of God. And I want to ask you tonight, what will be your legacy? What will others think about when they think of you when your life is done? Here, that's why God told the children of Israel to set these stones. Because he said, these children that are going to come after, that they may ask, what mean ye by these stones? God wanted them to remember these things. It was to serve, and there's several reasons here, I believe. Okay, first of all, it was to be a prompting. All right, it was a prompt for the present generation. Again, we're prone to forget. Aren't we? We forget. We at our church on Wednesday nights, it is a prayer meeting. We focus on prayer. And we take prayer. I don't preach long Wednesday night. I'm going to confess, Pastor. All right? I don't preach long on Wednesday nights, okay? But we focus on prayer. And about every, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks or so, we take our prayer meeting, and it's a praise meeting. And rather than handing out the church prayer list, I hand out a blank sheet, and I say, okay, now tonight is praise night. And we're just going to focus on what God has already answered. And we got a small crowd on Wednesday night, but I'll just let them know. Now, you're going to give a testimony. God's been doing something in your life. Now, you be thinking about what it is. We're going to sing a few hymns, and then I just start going around the room. Okay? Now, what's God done in your life? And you know, hey, we need to remember what God has done. And we need to make that list, whether it's in the back of our Bible, whether it's in our prayer journal, whether it's something we set up physically. But we need to remember that they needed a prompting, even in this generation. Amen. We've got to remember those things. But notice, second of all, these stones that they set up here, it says, again in verse 6, what mean ye by these stones? These children that would come up in the next generation, they were going to ask their fathers, and it was going to be a personal question. I was thinking about this week and praying about what to share with you as a church, and I thought about this building over here. Now, that building is nice. But you know what? I'm going to tell you, I'm not just, as we say in New Zealand, gobsmacked with it. Okay, it looks nice. I think it's a wonderful building. And it serves a purpose. But it's more than just meeting the needs of a school or meeting the needs of classrooms on Sundays and a fellowship hall after church meetings and such. That building is a reminder of what this generation has done. You know, I look back, and I had the privilege of growing up here. I remember the previous generation that trusted God for this property. I remember when Dr. John Berry prayed for this property, and nobody else knew about it, and he kind of let the cat out of the bag. You remember that, Brother Vernon? And we started coming over here when this was just an empty, holdout Ingles grocery store, and started begging God to give us this property. But I can think further back. I think back when I was a teenager, and we was over there on Spain Iron Road, and some of you, I'm playing back some old memories now. And we busted at the wings on either side of that auditorium because we were busting at the seams. As soon as we built one wing, we needed the next one because it was already full. What is that? It was reminders. We could go further back when we built the gymnasium at Spain Iron Road. I came just after that. But these buildings, yes, they serve a purpose, and yes, we're going to use them. But they are a reminder that, hey, we have trusted God to do something that we could not do of ourselves. We have trusted God, and He has done this through us. He has enabled us to do this. And hey, this is a testimony, not just for us right now, a reminder that God can. Amen? But it's also a testimony to the future generations that, hey, God still can. Amen. That God can still do the impossible. And you know what, church? You need to be involved in what God can do. Amen. Don't let others set aside, and don't you set aside and let them be involved and say, well, that's wonderful. I'm glad that the church was able to do that. If you gave for that building, if you gave for the building fund, you helped do that. You helped trust God to do that. Here, the children are going to ask, what mean ye by these stones? We can't just trust on what God has done for everybody else. We can't just look and say, well, that's what the church did in years past, and that's what God did for the church then. I don't know if God can do that now. No. It's got to be personal. What's God doing in your life? Yeah. We can't look at the pastor and say, well, God's blessing Pastor Broyhill, God's blessing Brother so-and-so, God's blessing Sister such-and-such, and I'm glad God's working in their life. Well, hold on. They don't have an edge on God. Right. What's God doing in your life? Because the same God, if you know Him as your Savior, He wants to do the same thing in your life. I got saved here when I was 8. Preacher Becker led me to the Lord. A few years later, Brother Chick Watkins was preaching our missions conference, and he preached from Romans 12. And I had never heard about surrendering your life. And that was the night he preached on that. And I sat right down here, and God tore me up. Now, just before he preached, a missionary gave a presentation on New Zealand. And I came forward that night. I told the Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Amen. But what he put in my heart was New Zealand. From 10 years of age, it has never left. You say, Pastor, I don't believe God does that. Well, I can't explain that, okay? But I tell you, He does. Because here I am. I can't explain that. And I know that's not everybody's testimony. I know, a few Bible college people say, wow, man, you know exactly what you're going to do. And, well, I just trust God. And if God changes direction, that's fine. But, hey, that's what God put in my heart. It took a long time to get there. And most of y'all know the story, all right? Know those bits and pieces. I'm not here to recall the past 20 years of my life. But when we finally got the call to go to New Zealand and to the specific place God had set out, the details, all that was involved, that was just amazing how even God worked there. Finally, we're ready to go. End of 2014, and we've got all of our support raised and everything, and we start having issues with these visas. Now, most of you know we have two autistic children. And New Zealand is a socialist country. So they don't favor letting, disadvantaged people into their healthcare system and their education system. We were told that Andrew would never get a visa. At the time, Marianne was just about a year or two old, and we didn't know she had autism at the time. But Andrew, he was fully diagnosed with it and such, and the lawyer we were working with, she said, well, you might as well just turn back. There's no way it's ever going to happen. Well, after about 3 months, God proved her wrong. Amen. And she was adamant. She said, that is a mistake. She said, you can go for however long that visa is valid for, but you will never get that visa renewed. You will never get to live permanently in the country. I said, well, God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. We still didn't have Marianne's visa. And so we tried three. We waited it out here. This was in 2014. We waited it out. We tried three times applying for her visa, and three times it was denied. And I honestly thought if it was not for a faithful wife, she's not here. I can embarrass her and brag on her. Amen. I thought we were done. And she said, "Well, I think we ought to go. How are we going to go?" And she said, "We'd already shipped all of our stuff. It's all set. We already had our house, everything. I've been preaching to the church by over Skype for the past year and a half." And she said, we still need to go. So she said, if nothing else, let's go get our stuff. We take Marianne in on a 3-month visitor visa and we'll try to appeal it. That's what we did. Pastor, he said, go for it. So we go, and sure enough, we make our appeal. And then began this long process. We found out, hey, you're in the country. We're not going to kick you out. You can make this appeal. But again, they said, it will never happen. It will never happen. We waited almost a year. In May of 2016, Marianne's first visa was granted. Now, that in itself was just miraculous. And the official that helped us with that, she said, only God could have done this. She said, only God could have done this. And you know what we did as a family? We started what we call our rock garden. Now, I wish I had a picture of it up here tonight. I don't have all the pictures. I don't have pictures and stuff. But we've got a rock garden. And that first rock right there, and it's based right here on Joshua 4:6. We made a rock, and we put all of our fingerprints on that rock, all the kids and Amy and I's handprints. And we put the date on there, Marianne's visa. Of when we had prayed, and we prayed, and we remember, that's where God delivered. That's when God came through. Amen. And whenever I begin to doubt, I see the needs we've got. I got situations in the church. I look back on that rock out there in the backyard. I said, wait a minute. What did my God do a few years ago? Oh, yeah. He provided a visa. When the government said there was no way, when people said you'll never be able to stay, you'll never make it, we prayed, we fasted, we had people praying all around the world. We had people on 3 or 4 different continents praying around the clock. And God moved and God did the impossible. Many of you were a part of that. We set up a stone. We want to remember. It became personal. Amen. Not only was it personal, but we see then, again, it would provoke future generations. They would remember. Amen. Look down at verses 21 and 22 here of Joshua 4. He spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. On dry land. Wow. For the Lord your God had dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Wow. Wow. It was there to provoke their remembrance and to remind the children of Israel and to remind the future generations Now, you notice here it says that the Lord God dried up the waters and they passed over on dry land. Turn back over into the previous chapter there, all right? And I don't want to belabor this a whole lot, all right? I want to get to our next point here, okay? These steps. Now, we've seen they set these stones to remember. How do they do that? Well, it comes by taking the first step. Look in Joshua 3 and verse 15. Here's where they actually performed the work of it, or God performed the work, performed the miracle. As they that bear the ark were come in the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all of his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, which is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. Wow. They weren't standing in the mud. They weren't sinking down in sinkholes. They were standing firm.
Amen.
How'd they do that? They had to take a first step. You know, Psalm 37, we're going to go there here in just a moment, but Psalm 37 and verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You can't get any clearer than that. These steps were ordered by the Lord. God gave the command, ye shall step in the river Jordan. You know, sometimes you got to step in the water.
Yeah.
And you got to step out in faith. If you're going to walk and you're going to be able to set up those stones, how are you going to set up stones and memorials? How are you going to be able to tell the children, your children coming and the next generation, hey, this is what God can do? You've got to take the first step. You have to walk by faith. And again, it has to be personal. I can't just read missionary stories and say, wow, look what God did for Abner and Judson. Look what God did for Praying High. Look what God did for all these other missionaries. Look what God's doing in this ministry. Look what God's doing for this church. Hey, we have to trust God. And we have to take the step. They didn't see it until they took a step.
That's right.
Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. From faith to faith. Step by step. And you notice, I've already pointed it out, it took faith, but when they set that on faith, there was a firm foundation underneath them. You know, some people say, well, that faith stuff is just, you know, you just kind of trust in the wind, and whatever happens, happens. You know, faith is not fate. Faith is not just, you know, well, whatever will be. No, faith is trusting the firm promises of God's word and say, this is what God said, and it doesn't matter what happens, I know that He is going to meet my needs. He is going to provide. He is able. God still can.
Right.
That is faith. And when we trust God and we take Him at His word, our faith is firm, just like the children of Israel. They stood firm. Amen. Well, that word stood firm there in verse 16, Joshua 3. It's the same word in Psalm 40. Verse 2, where he says, He hath established my goings. He has set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Wow. God had given the specific order of what they were to do, and there was, hey, they just had to trust Him. They just had to obey. God told us to go to New Zealand. We just had to obey. You know, the interesting thing about those visas is they expire. God did all of that. And we had people all around the world praying. Many of you were praying around the clock. We were fasting and praying for that. And it was only good for so many months. Those things expire. And the next time, in 2017, neither Andrew nor Marianne's visas were renewed. And so and we go back to the same official, and she tells us, now, you got to understand something. What happened with your daughter, that was incredible. She said, that's rare. She said, really, only God could have done that. But now you're going to ask, so you want to make another appeal? Yes, that's right. Yes, we do. So you think that you know, you're going to be able to stay in the country with two special needs children. You think that our immigration, you know, Ministry of Immigration is going to make an exception for two individuals in the same family and let you stay in the country? Yes, She said, that's never been done. Made me think of Mark chapter 4. Well, we've never seen it on this wise before. I said, well, let's see what God does. Now, we buckled in for the long haul. And to be very honest with you, 2017 was probably the darkest stretch we've had in New Zealand. That meant Marianne missed her entire first year of school. She's not allowed to go to school. We also found out we got an official diagnosis. She was diagnosed with autism. It also meant after Andrew's first 3 months of school, he was denied school, and he was out of school for the remainder of that year. Andrew and Marianne basically missed a whole year of school. During that time, Amy also had a miscarriage. It was some dark days. And all the while, we were praying, just trusting God, that we could even stay there. I've shared with our church, you know, and they didn't know this. They didn't know this at the time. We would plan events and things as a family 1 month at a time. The kids didn't know this. But we would, because I mean, you, as a church, you had to plan events, you know, the year out, and you had to book, you know, like that men's meeting, you had to plan, you know, when you're going to have that all, you know. And we would just say, well, we're going to plan a month at a time. Because essentially, immigration, they'd say, you know, we'll give you 30 days notice to leave the country if you're denied. And so we knew, okay, if we got to the first of this month, well, if we get denied this month, then we've got 30 days to leave. So we got 30 days that we know we're going to be here. We did that for over a year. And then in 2018, God did it again.
Amen.
What they said could never happen. And I like to throw in the works there that also in 2017, we had an election that was much like the election you had in 2020. We got a prime minister and a socialist government that was even more extreme, more extremely socialist than what we had. And they were totally against immigration. And yet, in that time period, God put a MP, a congressman, if you will, over immigration. And you know what her experience and her background was? It was helping disadvantaged children and families of special needs children and seeing that they had their education needs met. And so that's the individual, that's the person that is in the office. Can you see God? The fingerprints of God are all over this thing. So as we're writing and we're you know making our petition that hey you know I have a position to fill here God you know I don't get into all the spiritual side of it, but hey, this church has called me to be their pastor. It's the only church in the region like this. They don't have a national to fill this position. I need to continue in this position. We had two children with these special needs and et cetera, et cetera. We're making all this appeal When we have all that put together, it's a 5 or 6 page document, basically like a lawyer presenting his case to the courts, all right? That's the person that it lands on their desk. Not only does that MP give us the visas, they also gave us a letter granting them residency. The funny thing is, I didn't see that until after I read the letter 2 or 3 times. I was so excited about the visas. And then I go back and I read those last 2 or 3 sentences. It includes residency. Never been done. Never been done.
Wow.
So then we have to make an appeal for residency. Now, basically, this granting of residency, he said, what's the difference between visa and residency? Visas let us, it's a temporary hold, all right? And some of you traveled abroad, you may understand that, all right? If you haven't, it's a temporary thing, all right? Residency becomes permanent. You can go in and out, okay? It gives you other privileges as well, but mainly that's the main thing is you can go in and out of the country, all right? So, we made an appeal then. We didn't make an appeal. I'm sorry. We applied for residency. And we did that at the end of 2019. It took a while to get all the documents ready and everything for that. But November 2019, we applied for residency. Now, we all know what happened in 2020. It happened in New Zealand too. March 2020, on Amy's birthday, actually, all of New Zealand shut down. And it was like that for a year. And that included immigration. And so they had a huge backlog of all these residency applications and things. And finally, we didn't hear anything, you know, during that lockdown. And we were tightly locked down. I know y'all had a lockdown for 5 or 6 weeks. You couldn't have more than 10 people and such. That went on in New Zealand for about 6-8 months. They finally started loosening the belt a little bit and such. And then they realized they had a huge backlog because New Zealand has a lot of immigrants that come in. And so they're short of workers. They need to let people in. And so they began trying to, you know, push these applications through to get these residencies approved and such. And what we had applied for back in 19 was a 5-year plan, okay? So what would happen is if we were approved for the residency, we would be on a probation period. And as long as I didn't shoot anybody, break the law, you know, become a terrorist, after 5 years, that would be permanent. And, you know, it would be no more immigration issues, okay? And that'd be good. That's good enough. We're willing to do that, you know? When COVID hit and they had all this huge backlog then of all these applications for residency, then they wanted to do something to hurry that process up. So they made what they called an express residency. They put in an express line. And so our immigration advisor told us to go ahead and put in for both applications. So we had two applications going at one time, essentially. And thank the Lord, the express application is the one that actually got noticed first. And this year, it got approved. So now, because the express visa, residency visa was approved, rather than having to wait that 5-year probation period, what they did is they cut that down to 2 years. So in about another 18 months, we will have all the immigration processes behind us. It's done.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
It's done.
Amen.
You say, what happens in 18 months? In 18 months, I basically look at it and say, oh, you've been on a residency visa for 2 years. You're good to go. We don't have to pay them for it. It's all done. What they say could never happen. You know, when we got that residency back here in May this year, we didn't just set up a stone, put up a boulder. If I could fit it in a suitcase, I'd have brought it. But the weight, I probably needed a crate, you know, to put it on the plane. But we're going to remember that one. And all those other visas along the way. We've set these stones because I don't want to ever forget. I want my children to know what God can do.
Amen.
And I hope you as a church, you realize that if you prayed for us, if you've given to missions, that was part of your doing too. You were involved in that. I know some of you were praying in early morning hours. I remember you on the prayer chain. Hey, God answered prayer. Amen. And you know what? It's not just for me. Because I'm telling you, I'm a nobody. Okay? I'm a nobody from Stokes County, all right? But my God will do the impossible for me, and he'll do the impossible for every one of you.
Amen.
Every one of you. God will do the impossible for Calvary Baptist Church of Fallen Gray. I told our church, I said, here we are, 20, 30 folks, and you know what? God will move mountains. God will do the impossible. God will put in immigration officials, you know, override politics, all of that for our little church. We are God's church.
That's right.
There is nothing that can defeat our God. There is nothing that can stop our church because we are God's church. And I don't want us to ever forget that. Amen.
That's good.
I want you to turn over in closing, all right, to Psalm 37. I told you we're going to be there. Go to Psalm 37. I mentioned verse 23 a while ago. Let's just go ahead and read that. Again, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Man, we could preach there for a while tonight, too, and I'm not going to, all right? He delighteth in his way. I think the Lord has a play on words there. He delighteth in his way. It's kind of like what it says there over in the first part of the chapter. You delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. I am living proof of that. If you will give your heart to God, I'm not talking about in salvation, okay? I'm talking about for the child of God. You give him your desires, and he will give you the right desires, and then he will grant those desires. You trust him with all your heart. You let him guide your heart. Don't just follow your feelings. You give him your heart. You give him everything. Amen. But I want you to look on down there in chapter 37 and look at verse 37. It says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Now, David is writing this psalm. I think he's writing this toward the end of his life. You read this, and he talks about there, "I've been young, and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread." And I mentioned David a while ago. There's a lot given in Scripture about the life of David, the ups and downs. A man after God's own heart, and yet bloodshed would never depart from his house, the result of his sin. And God just shows us the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. And yet, there's promises to David and his family. Man, the Messiah, Christ came through David's line, and there's promises yet to be fulfilled to David. And you know what? We see it all. And here, God says, through David, "Mark the perfect man." That word "mark," it's not the same Hebrew word, all right? But it's a similar word to what it is there in Joshua 4, the word "signs." And here, God's not just telling us to mark events. He's telling us to mark the man. How do you become a marked man? How are you going to be a marked man? You go back to verse 23. Step by step. You've got to take every step in faith. And every step needs to be a step that's by faith, and it needs to be founded on God's word and firm. I think about a tombstone. And y'all probably heard this illustration before. You've got a date. You got two dates. You've got a starting date and an end date. But in between there, you've got that line. That dash. That dash represents that person's life. I was thinking about that, and I thought, we want to be a marked individual. I don't want my life just to be a straight dash with no marks on it.
That's
right. Talk about a tape measure. This is a straight line, but it's got marks on it. Now, it's got some marks of 1 inch to it, and y'all know how it goes, okay? Now, I flip it over, it's got the side I use down home, okay? Mils, centimeters, and all those, all the metric stuff, all right? But it's got these marks. Come out here, and you got a little bit bigger mark here, that's 1 foot. You keep going, and you're going to hit, a yard, 3 feet. But in between, it's got all these other little marks, half inch, quarter inch, 16th. But it's marked. You know what? I want my life to be marked. There might be some little events where God answered some quote-unquote small prayers. But all that tallied up to a bigger one.
That's good.
And all that tallied up to something even bigger. When my life is done, I want my children, I want those who knew me to be able to look back and say, "I see what God did. I see what God did." The scary thing is, you don't know how much time you got. Because you're making these marks, and you never know when God's going to say, "Time's up." But when they review your life and they look back over it, what are the marks they're going to see? What kind of legacy are you going to have? Are you setting up some stones? Are you taking steps of faith? I've told our church, we're not done. You say, "Well, you got residency, that's it." I'm not done. It scares me to death. But I know God's got bigger things, bigger stones. I'm excited to see what God's going to do.
Amen.
What is God doing in your life? What's going to be your legacy? Let's close in a word of prayer.